Let me explain to you what we're going to be doing. We are going to be doing a marathon recording session of Wrestling with the Basics. I know our shows, they seem fresh as the headlines from your morning newspaper, especially if you use your newspaper to wrap fish in. But the truth of the matter is we actually record these shows a week, 2 weeks ahead. And so with Christmas vacation coming up, again, we could have just played reruns, right, Matt?
We could have played reruns, yeah, no doubt about it.
A lesser radio show would have just played reruns over the holidays.
That would have been the easy thing to do.
But not us. No, we're doing all new material because we are, we used to be the hardest working men in Christian radio. We are now the second hardest working men in Christian radio. Randy Asbury has actually taken the title.
He has taken over as number one.
Yeah, and well deserved because he actually gets up at a god-awful hour Monday through Friday to do his show. Can you imagine getting up early in the morning to record radio?
That's pretty rough.
Yeah, Matt and I won't even get up early on a Saturday morning to do this show. You know, we come in about 11 o'clock in the day, you know, and record them.
A little brunch together beforehand. And...
But anyway, here's what we're doing. We're going to be recording four episodes in a row for all of you dear listeners. I'm a little bit concerned about you, Matt, because you've never done a 4K before, have you?
This is my very first 4K.
Yeah, and by the way, the reason they call it 4K, people, little radio insight here, everything that radio does on the west of the Mississippi has to begin with a K. That's why this is KFUO radio. Okay, everything on the east.
Oh, yes, sure.
Everything
okay,
on the east
sense.
Starts with a W. Check them out. Everything.
Yeah.
So actually, this is a K-radio show we're doing, and so we're going to do four of them, hence 4K.
K-radio.
Well, now, because you made the rookie mistake there. That's why I want to – the K is actually silent. So when you say it, you actually just say radio episode.
Oh, it's a silent K.
But everybody in radio knows there's a K at the beginning. Okay, so you ready?
I think I'm ready.
Okay.
Do I need to stretch or anything first?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you better stretch. No, not your legs, Matt. No, your headphones.
Oh,
stretch
okay.
Your headphones out, because otherwise after four episodes, it's like there's a vice on your head. Oh, man, you'll have such a terrible headache. And have we got... Oh, here, I'm messing you up. Have you got the sound effects ready?
I'm ready. Which sound effects were
you
doing?
Well, we got some
our
new
special
sound effects. Our special sound effects to get us through.
Okay.
Try a few of those.
Well, here we go. Our special Christmas sound effects.
Yeah, okay.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? All
right, that's working. Try number two.
Okay.
All right, now. There's no time for foolishness.
And finally, launch sound effect number three.
Don't you know sarcasm when you hear it?
Okay. We are up and running.
We are ready for the
big
WWB 4K marathon.
Here we come.
We're on a mission from God.
Now for something completely different.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
And good morning. This is Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, which actually, there used to be a K in front of Clark.
That's right.
Used to be Clark. But then we thought that was kind of redundant, so we just dropped the K altogether.
That's right. When your relatives came over on the Mayflower, it was Clark.
Clark. Yeah. Well, we tried it silently for a while, but, you know.
Yeah, just leave it.
I don't know. We just dropped
Simplify
it altogether.
Simplify the spelling.
That's right.
And I'm figuring we've just started our marathon, and already I've stumbled because I was supposed to introduce ourselves at the beginning, which
that's
I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, you said you're Matt Clark, and I'm John Kalikowski. I'm pastor, by the way, at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt. And where are you at, Matt?
I'm at Manual Lutheran over in Waterloo, Illinois.
And, you know, the real frustration, though, about doing this whole 4K WWB marathon is it probably is all for naught, because if the Mayans are correct, the world will end, and this is the only episode people will
this
hear.
This is the only one, but that's all right.
So, by the way, did you see that? The talk about fresh as the headlines from your newspaper, did you see that they have reinterpreted this whole Mayan deal? I was just reading it just yesterday.
Well, they got the date wrong?
It wasn't the date, but it was they misinterpreted the words in the man calendar. It did not say it would be the end of the world, but that it would be the end of Twinkies. Isn't that amazing?
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Oh, good for you, Mac. Those new sound effects in there.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're so appropriate, too. I was reading an article. We just had, not only the 21st is coming up, but we just had the big 12-12-12 day.
Oh, that's right, too.
This past Wednesday. And USA Today had an article about how people are cashing in on this, especially over in Vegas.
Oh, no.
These 12-12-12 weddings at 12 past
is that
noon.
Right?
And, but then they're also offering an Armageddon special for the 21st.
Is that
the date
right?
The world's supposed to end according to the Mayans. But I'm thinking if the world's really going to end, then they should be for free, right?
Well, they ought to be. What are they charging you anything for? Okay. So when we get done here, we're heading out to Vegas. Is that the plan then? Make use of the new Armageddon special?
Let's see what we can do.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, with the end of the world just coming to us in about 6 days, this coming Friday, we thought it would be best to give you some scriptural guidance about the end of the world. Have you got your Bible open to Mark 13?
I sure do.
Man,
I'm ready
is
to go.
Good. He didn't know we were doing this, and he already had it ready.
My earphones are stretched. I'm in Mark 13.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Yeah, so just start reading there, verse 1, if you would. We're going to share with you some basic advice about the end of the world today.
Okay, so we're in Mark chapter 13, verse 1. And he came out of the temple, and one of his disciples said to Jesus, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down."
Okay, that sounds good. Here, I'm going to hand you some notes there too, Matt, as you want to follow along.
Sure.
Wonderful stones, the disciple says, as we talked about last week. These are enormous stones, 37 foot by 18 by 12 foot. The Jewish historian, who is the Jew?
Josephus.
Thank you. I always get him and Eusebius confused. Or should we say K. Josephus and K. Eusebius. Yeah. So anyways, these are enormous. These are great stones. They're bigger than my living room size stones, Matt. They are wonderful, awesome things. But, of course, what does Jesus say about these stones?
He says that there won't be one upon another.
Right, and that actually literally happens in 70 A.D. The Romans come in, burn down the city of Jerusalem, burn down the temple, and then continue to demolish it. So the temple, the holy temple, the temple of God, the place where God dwelt, where the Holy and Holies was for years and years, doesn't exist, hasn't existed, probably won't exist. Although there's some people who keep thinking we're going to rebuild it, that's all part of the end of the world. That's the program. We've got to rebuild the temple. Yeah. Then the end of the world will come. But right now there's a big Muslim mosque sitting.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of tough to rebuild.
There's going to be some problems there, that's for sure. But it does explain why there's constant tension going on in the Middle East.
Yeah.
You know, because the Muslims are actually controlling the area now that if you're an Orthodox Jew, this is where the temple needs to be placed. But anyway, the important thing about this particular little story is that, again, as Mark shows us over and over again, it demonstrates that the disciples are clueless.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has just gone into a great deal explaining to them the glories of this world are not important. Yeah, that's a pretty impressive stone. Yeah, it was a beautiful temple. But we don't care how great, how beautiful earthly temples are, because nothing on earth is going to last. In fact, Jesus' comment right before this was, the first shall be what?
Last.
And the last
shall be first.
So here you're amazed at this wonderful, glorious temple. And no, it is a glorious thing now, but whatever is first now will end up being nothing when the end finally comes. So yeah, this will be totally destroyed. And that's the first thing we have to realize. You know, Matt and I have been making fun about the whole man calendar, about the world coming to an end this Friday. But you do understand that the world is going to come to an end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not denying that. Might be the 20th, might be the 22nd. Might not be for another 500 years. But the point Jesus makes is that everything we have will come to an end. It's a very difficult truth for us to face, especially at Christmas time. I don't think we like to think about ends at Christmas time. But I actually have a funeral coming up this Saturday, Matt, and it forces us to face the reality. There's nothing that you have here. Don't hold on to it too tight, because you can't keep anything here. Everything here comes to an end, no matter how big and glorious and great the rocks of it may be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to keep on reading?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think for the disciples, for them to hear this, they're probably shocked by it.
Oh, yeah.
This news of the temple itself is going to be destroyed. And this temple's relatively new at this point, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because this is the one Herod remodeled.
Herod the Great built this one. I think it's the third temple, right?
Yep.
It's Solomon's, and then later Ezra and others rebuild, and there's a second one, and now this is even a grander one than the second one, a Herod's temple. So for the disciples to hear that the temple, this place where literally even where God dwells, where this happens, the glory of the Lord's there, that this is going to be gone. Probably shocking.
And doubly so, because the second temple, like you said, everybody was kind of disappointed in.
Yeah.
In fact, the old people kind of wept because it's
wept
just...
at it. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, we just don't have what we used to. Yeah. You know, the new stuff is never as good as the old. But then Herod had come in and he had fulfilled the Jews' desire to really fancy it up. It was a wonder of the world at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking the disciples figure, this is where we're going to be reigning, right?
Yeah.
We just shouted Hosanna. He's coming in. He's taking over the temple. Yeah. We'll be sitting on his right and left here, and he will be the high priest in the new temple. And then, like you say, for Jesus to say, oh, no, there's not even going to be any temple here.
Yeah, it's going to be just, wait a second.
Yeah.
That's not what I signed up for, Jesus.
Yeah. Where are we going to be sitting then on your right and left when you come in glory and honor if it isn't going to be in the temple? Read on, though.
Okay.
Read on. Because Jesus then goes and gives us some instructions about the end of the world.
Sure. So we're in verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be?
There we go. Yeah, and which I love that too.
What is going to happen?
You know, we want the inside dope, though.
Yeah.
That's right.
We'd ask the same thing, wouldn't we? If Jesus just told us something like that, the temple's going to be destroyed. Well, when is this going to happen, Jesus?
Yeah, and don't tell everybody else.
Yeah, I know. I like that. They come to him privately.
That's right.
Not even the other disciples. It's these guys.
That's what we're doing here in Wrestling with the Basics, right? You're not going to find this information anywhere else but only here.
The inside scoop.
We'll give it so you can be ready where everybody else is not.
Don't you know sarcasm when you hear it?
You are so good with those
good.
Sound effects.
I'm getting there. All right. By the fourth show, maybe not so much.
That's right. Pace yourself, Matt.
Yeah.
This is a marathon.
So the disciples ask, these disciples say, when will these things be? When will be these signs? What will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? And Jesus goes on and begins to say to them, see that no one leads you astray.
All right, and I just want to make a comment. This is a sign of the end of the world, that people are going to give you false information about the end of the world. Okay.
Yeah.
So this whole Mayan prediction, and last year, who was the radio guy? I can't remember, guys.
Oh, yeah, the radio guy in California. Oh, what's his name? I forget.
Who cares?
That's
right.
It came and went the date that he predicted, and now we can't remember the guy's name.
But these are the signs that there will be an end of the world, that people are going to come and lead you astray. All right, keep on reading.
Verse 6, many will come in my name saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains.
All right, so point number one is, don't believe anyone who tells you the world is not going to come to an end. Jesus says the evidence is all around you that the world is going to come to an end. There is wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, Hurricane Sandy. You know, I don't know how people think that things are going to go on forever. Every day I get up and there's more evidence. No, things are coming to an end. Even this terrible thing in Oregon with the shooting. These are all the evidence that, no, things do not last here. Okay, I don't care how big and glorious the stones are. Nothing lasts. It all comes to an end. But it's not going to come to an end now, Jesus says. In fact, I love the phrase he uses there. He says this is a birth pang.
Mm-hmm.
This is a birth pang.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the birth pangs indicate that something... were you there when your kids were born?
Oh, I was there for both of them.
No, what did that mean? That kind of, I was there.
Yeah.
You want to explain what that...
I had the easy job, but still, you know, it's... you understand what Jesus means, let me tell you, when you've witnessed the birth of a child.
And
both Lisa's... birth were natural ones, you know, and
oh, wow.
Boy, it's
so
long
no drugs
labors,
or anything.
Especially the first one.
Yeah.
So So Jesus really here saying it's going to be painful, and as labor continues, it seemed to get worse.
Oh yeah,
I'm just standing there, but I'm pretty sure things got worse.
The
as they
screaming
went
indicates the that,
screaming,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, ringing in your ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sweetheart, hold my hand. Oh, not hold the man that hard.
Not that. So, and similarly here, it sounds like the end of the world as the end approaches. Yeah, things are bad, perhaps, but boy, as the end approaches, it's only going to get more severe.
Well, let me tell you a little more about the word that's used there, birth pang. Okay, because it's actually several places in the scripture. If you got your Bible handy. And you're right. See, it is a beautiful image because you know it's coming. There's no getting around it. You know it's coming. But again, like your first child had pretty long labor.
Yeah. Noah, yeah.
So did ours, our first and second. The second was really hard for me because it was a C-section, and at that point they didn't let you come in. So I was doing the old traditional thing of pacing back and forth. Started out, I think, about, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and I think it was the next morning, about 10 o'clock, finally they decided to go ahead and do the C-section. You know it's coming. You don't know when it's coming, and it may come really, really quick, because our last one, Matt, we got to the hospital, and a half hour later, the baby.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we were really... But so here's the passages. 1 Thessalonians 5:3.
Yeah. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And they will not escape.
All right, so this is what Jesus is teaching us. First of all, the world is going to come to an end. There's plenty of signs. Whether it'll come today or not, we don't know. But the key thing we need to know is that when it comes, it's going to come how?
Sudden.
Yeah. So if you're waiting for some radio guy to give you the secrets about when the world will come, giving you the date when the world will come, telling you the things you need to do before the world will come, now the fact of the matter is it will come so quickly, as the Bible says, people will be going out to their fields, people will be going to the grain mills, and one will be taken and another will be left. The world's going to go on just doing what it's doing, okay? And the world is going to come to an end.
Yeah.
So that's number one. However... You had a comment, Matt?
Well, the comment, yeah, thinking if we're going with this analogy of birth and labor,
yes. Yeah.
At the end of the labor, as terrible as it is joy. It's a wonderful thing. It's the arrival of this beautiful child, this baby. And I'm thinking when the birth pains, the things associated with the end of the world, so to speak, Jesus' return at the end is... The return of the Son of God, Jesus our Savior.
And here's the other neat thing about the use of that word in the Bible. Would you read, please, Acts 2:24?
Sure. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death.
And by the way, I don't know why they don't say it, because this is what it is in the Greek. It's not just pangs, it is birth pangs.
Birth pangs.
Yeah, go
about
ahead.
That? Because it was not possible for him to be held by it.
So you're right. See, that is the wonderful truth we have as Christians. So we don't know the world is going to come to an end. We do know it will come rather suddenly. In fact, in the book of Revelation, what does the church cry? Come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, let's get it on. Let's have it now.
Yeah.
Because we know, as you said, like it is with the birth of a child, this is a joyous thing. And in fact, it's funny, once that child is born, and I can remember looking at my wife's face as she held that little baby, you could tell that the pain really didn't bother, well, actually, I don't know. Didn't bother me, of course it didn't bother me before either, but anyway, yeah, that joy, that just that excitement that this new life is now in our hands.
Sure.
And what a beautiful picture for us about the end, both of the world and our own end. That this is a birth pang.
Mm-hmm.
No, this isn't a bad thing. This is actually when we're going to finally come to the life that Jesus Christ had promised us.
And during labor, that eagerness, come, baby, come. And well, with us, too, with these birth pangs, come, Lord Jesus.
So, you know, I think this is just remarkable. The Lord has chosen the perfect word to describe the end of the world. But let's continue his discussion now of the things we need to know about the end.
Okay. Verse 9?
Yes.
Okay. Mark 13, verse 9. But be on your guard. They will deliver you over to councils, and you'll be beaten in synagogues, and you'll stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them.
All right. Here's the next false teaching we have to avoid. There are some people out there that are saying, you know, Christians don't need to worry about the end. And like you said, the fact that the Bible does speak of the things getting worse before the end comes, although it will still come suddenly. But there are some out there saying, well, you don't have to worry about that as a Christian, because Jesus is going to come and he's going to take the Christians out before the final tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
There is that teaching going around out there. But apparently what Jesus is saying here, no, Christians won't be spared the troubles and trials that mark the end. In fact, Christians will maybe have to suffer more.
Yeah.
Because the world actually hates us as Christians. Mm. So now don't expect that because you've signed up for Christianity that life will be easy. No, in fact, life probably will be harder for you as a Christian. However, this is followed by a beautiful promise. You want to read the next verse there, Matt?
Yeah. Verse 10. And the gospel must be proclaimed to all nations.
Yeah, that's the promise. Here's the one thing you can be sure of about the end, Matt. God's going to make sure that everybody knows he loves them and that he forgives them. Okay, nothing's going to stop that gospel from being proclaimed. Again, as we began this marathon, we had some problems, couldn't find our sound effects. Apparently, we were going to have to leave the studio here pretty shortly because someone else needs it. But I'll tell you this much. Despite all the things that are going to go wrong this Christmas time, there's one thing that will happen, and I don't care what the Mayan calendar says. Come December 24th, we're going to proclaim the fact that the Savior of the world has been born. And that's the promise God makes us, that gospel of his love and forgiveness and eternal life. Nothing's going to stop that gospel from being proclaimed. And then he has one more promise, especially to pastors, but I think to everybody. You want to read the next verse?
Sure, verse 11. And when they bring you to trial to deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit.
All right. So here's the comfort that we Christians have. Don't worry anxious. Don't be anxious beforehand. Isn't it remarkable that the Greek actually have a word for that? Yeah. That's one word in the Greek language. We have to use two words in the English. But anxious beforehand, it's one word in the Greek. And I love that because that's me. Honestly, as I was anticipating our marathon shows, I'm thinking, golly, will we have enough stuff to use for four shows in a row? But Jesus says what? Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit will give us whatever we need. And again, let me say that to everybody out there who is facing Christmas and maybe worried beforehand whether they're going to get everything done and everything will be prepared. Trust me, whatever you need to get done for this Christmas, God will give you the time, the energy, the words if necessary, whatever. He'll see to it that you are ready and prepared for Christmas and also for when Jesus Christ comes at the end. And the way we're going to be ready and prepared for that is because the gospel is still going to be proclaimed. Nothing will stop that gospel from being proclaimed. There's one more verse in this text. Could you read, please? Verse 13.
Okay. Jesus says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved."
Okay. And so this is all you got to do, Matt. All you got to do is endure, and you'll be fine when the end comes. Of course, we hear this as a law word, as if, oh, man, we have to be brave and courageous. I don't know if I can do that. Again, could you go to your Bible? I want you to understand what the word endure means. From Luke chapter 2, Matt, could you read that passage?
Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 43. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem.
And that's actually the word endured in the Greek. So literally, endure it means just
staying behind.
Stay where you are. Just stay where you are. Same thing in Acts 17:14, just so you know we're not making this up.
Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea. But Silas and Timothy remained there.
And guess what the word is in the Greek?
And that same endured.
It's the same
stay
endured
word. Yeah.
So please understand when it says he who endures till the end will be saved, it's not actually telling you that you have to do anything. In fact, just the opposite. All you have to do is just stay where you are, right? What you're doing now, listening to the Word of God, whether it's coming from a couple of wacky guys called Matt and John, or whether you're going to hear it from your pastor or from your reading of the Scripture, this is all you need to do is you need to endure. In fact, let me share with you one last passage. Read Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Have you got that there, Matt?
Let's see. I've got Psalm 25 here, verse 3.
How about Micah 7:7? You got
okay.
that?
Yeah. I've got that.
All right, good.
But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
And see, there it is. The word wait, again, is that word endure. That's all we need to do. Just wait. Whatever trials, whatever troubles you have, the Lord will come and he will deliver you. And when the end comes, we will be delivered from all of our sufferings and trials because it will be a birth pang we're going through. And like you said, Matt, when the birth finally comes, there is joy that makes all the tears before just disappear.
Our Emmanuel, who stays with us.
Yes, yeah.
Allows us, gives us the strength to stay.
Yeah, we just stay. We just wait. And no, he's here with us. Wait for his return. Hey, blessings. Next week, our big Christmas episode.
Great. Looking forward to it.